Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
9 o'clock in the Delaware Valley. Welcome back to the WIP Morning Show. John Johnson in for Angelo for the day. Of course, Rhea is here, Al's here, Jonesy is here. And joining us on the line from Bleeding Green Nation, one Brandon Lee Gowton. Good morning, Brandon.
Good morning, guys.
Brandon, I've been reading a bunch of your stories on Bleeding Green Nation, and I have to start with one of the many that you have available right now, but one I kept reading over and over again, and it has to do with Doug Peterson's need to improve on hiring of his coaching staff. Obviously, we know they're looking for an offense coordinator, quarterback, wide receiver coach, what may be different assistant coaches. Where do you think Mike Rowe obviously failed here? We wanted him gone for a while. Things started to improve, but it wasn't enough to keep him. Where do you think Doug went wrong in hiring certain assistants?
Yeah, so I think you have to look back at the process of how it all went down. And I think a big issue that I had, and even in the moment, too, when the Eagles lost Frank Reich, they lost John DeFilippo, I always went back to how Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman, even Doug Peterson himself, they would all really stress how when they put Doug's staff together originally in 2016, they talked so much about having the value of three former quarterbacks on that staff in Doug, in Frank Reich, and then in Flip. And they put so much weight into that and this process of not only bringing Sam Bradford back but also drafting Carson Wentz. And then it was weird to me when all of a sudden they lose Reich and they lose DeFilippo, and there wasn't really an effort to hire the best candidate as much as there was like, okay, let's just promote these guys from in-house automatically. And by all indications, there was really no search of any kind. They didn't even at least look at external options. It was pretty much between Mike Rowe and Deuce Staley. So I think that's kind of just where they went wrong from the jump. And really just a bigger problem across the board for the Eagles recently in recent years has been this overvaluing of in-house options and always thinking a former Eagles player out there might be the best option for them, either Jordan Matthews or Jay Ajayi this season. They kind of need to get out of that Flyers mindset of it's always a former Eagle or an in-house option that's always the best one.
Yeah, it seemed like, Andy Reid is notable. He did that for years, and it ended up becoming his downfall. Is it safe to assume, we all assume this anyway, but that Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie play a part in hiring the next offensive coordinator? Is that the wise decision?
I mean, I definitely think they play a part. I mean, you look at some of the coaching staff decisions that have happened in the past. Like, Doug Peterson did not really have a connection to Jim Schwartz. I mean, I'm pretty sure the Jim Schwartz hire was connected to Howie.
Yeah, that was done before Lurie. He was even named.
Mm-hmm. Right, sure. Exactly. Yeah. So there's definitely influence there. I mean, you don't want those guys being too involved because, again, this is Doug's staff. Now, I will say, the decision to get rid of Groh and Carson Wentz, I think, I don't buy that there's never a time for the owner to step in. You know, if there is a time for the owner to step in, it's when there's some kind of crazy thing going on where you can't really explain the process of why this is being made. Kind of like, let's say, just for example, promoting your your offensive line coach to defensive coordinator, like right. That might be a good time for the owner.
Juan Castillo would have been nice if he had. Let me tell Brandon, that's the one I'll still never forget, the phone call I made to Angelo to tell him that. And he kept saying, "You're joking." And I said, "I'm really not."
I thought it was a joke too.
Yeah. But,
So there's a time and place for the owner to step in, but I don't think it should be so much in the case of actually picking the coordinator. I mean, Doug has to have a voice in that.
Why do you think, and maybe it's just they're not finding one that they prefer over those that they've interviewed, but there is, of the names we know of thus far, those who have either declined and chose where they to go back to their current employer or took another job. Is that surprising at all to you? I would think, I realize that Doug calls the plays, but I would think, I mean, it's the Philadelphia Eagles. It's, we saw the success of Frank Reich beyond, you know, once he left the Eagles and goes to Indianapolis. You would think this would be a desired, not just organization to be in, but a position in the NFL and a coaching staff.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because I think some people are trying to make it seem like the play calling thing is a deal breaker. I mean, it might be for some people, but it shouldn't be for everyone. Like you said, Frank Reich was here. You look at Kevin O'Connell, who the Eagles were reportedly interested in from Washington. I mean, he went to the Rams. He's not calling plays out there. I mean, that's still Sean McVay. So I can't think it's the only issue with this job, and I think it would be attractive. I mean, you also get to work with Carson Wentz, who's a pretty talented quarterback. And I think if you're looking to kind of like rehab your image or make that jump back to being a head coach, yeah, or even just an offensive coordinator job, maybe that does call plays. I think Philly is a good spot to be in. And you work under Doug Peterson, and you know, you have success, the team has success, and you're going to be considered for a promotion down the line. So I would think they would be able to find someone at some point here. And yeah, we have to – I mean, you have to wonder, like, how much of this is the Eagles didn't want those candidates as much as they're being turned down. Don't know for sure. If we're being fair, we're giving them some of the benefit of the doubt. Maybe the Eagles have a different idea in mind. But they definitely seem like they have a type. I mean, you look at all the candidates they're looking at, their former quarterbacks, you know, they're the guys with passing backgrounds. So I a lot of the options have been younger, like a Graham Harrell, Kevin O'Connell, some of the names that have been thrown out there. So they definitely seem to have a type they're looking for.
How about skewing older? And so instead of the young blonde, we go for somebody who's had a pretty good track record of success with quarterbacks. And I'm talking about, and it's also on your website, Jim Caldwell. You know, he's worked with Peyton Manning. He's worked with Joe Flacco. He's worked with Matthew Stafford, I think, what had his best numbers, didn't he, when he was with Caldwell? Why is that not a move that's getting more traction?
It should be. I mean, I think that's, to me, that's a no-brainer for the Eagles to hire Jim Caldwell. I mean, he had the health issues last year, which kind of forced him to step away from the Dolphins. So I guess you could kind of be concerned about that and wonder how viable he is as a candidate in terms of being able to stay healthy. But by all indications, he is better now. And he's leaving the Dolphins, and he's going to be available. And I think it makes a ton of sense. Like you said, when you look at his track record with those quarterbacks you mentioned, I mean, Joe Flacco went on a crazy run in the playoffs.
It was nuts.
It was nuts. It was 14 touchdowns, zero interceptions. I mean, he was white hot. You look at Stafford, like you mentioned, he had his only Pro Bowl season. The Lions went to the playoffs two out of the three times that Stafford has ever gone to the postseason. And then, obviously, Peyton Manning is a really good quarterback. He probably didn't need a ton of help with coaching staff, but still.
But I think the Flacco and Stafford, you know, things are things to look at and go, okay, there's a track record here.
Exactly, yeah. So I just think you look at his track record. And I think when you're looking at an Eagles offensive coordinator candidate, I think there's ideally two things you would want to value, but at least one of the two would be one, would be maximizing Carson Wentz. And I think Jim Caldwell can do that. And the second one would be kind of bringing some kind of new offensive ideas to the table. And I don't know if Caldwell does that so much. Maybe. I mean, he's from outside the building. But I think those are the things you're kind of looking for. And when it comes to maximizing Carson Wentz, I think Caldwell can absolutely do that.
Brandon Lee Gowton, nice enough to join us this morning. Brandon, every team in the NFL right now is looking at the Chiefs. They're looking at the 49ers, and they're saying, how far away are we from, you know, getting to where they are? How do we match up against these two Super Bowl teams? A lot of Eagles fans feel, you know, that this team, whether it was injuries or maybe a single tweak or two away, you know, from potentially competing or beating the 49ers. Is that just a homer point of view, or, you know, and this team is a tweak or two away, or is there something more, I don't want to say rebuild, but they need a lot more holes filled than maybe people are willing to admit?
I just think they need to put an emphasis on some things that got these teams, the 49ers and Chiefs, to where they are right now. And to me, that's speed. That's a huge one. I mean, you watch the game. Watch those championship games on Sunday, and you can't tell me, you know, that, like, it's almost like a different sport sometimes, or a different, just entirely different looking offense, where these players on the 49ers and Chiefs are just effortlessly getting open and making, you know, accounting for these huge explosive plays. Like, everything the Eagles do on offense is basically a struggle. And it really was pretty much that way for most of the season. Even when they were doing better towards the end of the season, you know, they have to methodically move down the field. There's no really big plays that you can consistently rely on. I mean, Miles Sanders was the
Eagles,
most explosive.
The first game, as you're talking, Brandon, I'm going back to the first game with DeSean Jackson. The 250-yard, it seems like 5 years ago.
Yeah, it does. And it's crazy because when you look at, like, some of the numbers, I mean, those two explosive plays, like, were some of the biggest plays all year in week one. So it's just depressing, honestly, to watch these other teams be so explosive and so fun to watch and then have to watch the Eagles offense at times where it does not look easy at all. It looks like they have to put so much effort in just to score. And I think that's definitely something they need to focus on, team speed. They've neglected it for too long.
And Brandon, I was watching, you know, I'm watching the Sixers game yesterday. You're a person who watches sports because it's entertaining. So I'm watching it and I'm checking Twitter every now and then, and I see a tweet by you. Watching the Sixers isn't fun, but you had an addendum, except for Korkmaz. And I was thinking this, until the fourth quarter, which the fourth quarter was a boatload of fun. The defense and, you know, Ben Simmons and Matisse Thybulle. But I swear to God, I was saying the same thing to my TV going, this is painful.
Yeah, I mean, it's really similar to the Eagles.
Yeah, that's what you were saying it. That's why I remembered you said it.
Yeah, it's like the aesthetic just isn't good. Like, you can look at the results ultimately, and I'm not trying to say they're an awful team. Yeah. I mean, clearly they're in position to still be, you know, a decent seed if, you know, they play better and things shake out right. They're not some awful, awful team, but just the style of basketball that they play, it's not like a modern style of basketball. Just like the Eagles, to me, they're not playing a modern style of football with how slow they are. And it's just, I'm not having fun. I'm being honest. Like, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm watching it and like, I'm not really enjoying it as much. And I love the Sixers and I usually watch almost every game. I haven't been doing it as much this year just because, like, I'm not enjoying this.
Yeah. Brandon Lee Gowton, bleedinggreennation.com. Read it every day if you can. Brandon, I appreciate it. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Rhea, why do you, let me ask you this.
Sure.
Why are these Sixers not fun anymore when you watch them? What is it? Is there something specific you can point to?
It's just sometimes when I'm, and I was, you know, I was a little, I'm watching the game and NBC Sports is carrying it. The Sixers are down by like 10 points and I'm going, am I watching the same game? Because I'm not seeing some of the stuff that they were pointing out and I didn't get it. Like, you can have a guy playing great, but if you're down by 10 points, it doesn't resonate with me. But
sure.
It was just, there are sometimes I sense about them a lack of energy, and that bothers me. There's nothing I hate more than watching it. It's like,
especially on the road.
Well, it's anywhere. My whole point is, if I'm going to take time out of my life to watch your game, then, you know, have a little energy. That's just always, as a fan, that's just as
somebody
sitting down to watch a game, not working. I just sometimes sense just no urgency about them at times. I don't. Oh, I love Ben Simmons' game. I'm more of a. I've kind of gone over to the other side. I used to be more on Embiid, but Embiid just plays when he feels like it, and he's hurt a lot. I mean, that's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben is there all the time. I think I read a stat where the Sixers are 17-3. With Matisse Thybulle in the starting lineup.
When he plays 20 or more minutes, they are 17-3.
I need him to play a lot more because when he's in there,
he's fun. He's a lot of fun.
He's that kid just, I'll never forget it. We had Jason Kelce on Al every week during the Eagles season.
Mm-hmm.
And when those kids started to come in, the Boston Scots, the Greg Ward, he never stop telling you the amount of energy those kids bring.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jonesy, you played. There's some kids bring what is it called? Youthful exuberance that makes a difference.
They bring a lot of energy to that lineup, too. Yeah. Travis Konecny is one of those guys with the Flyers. He's got it.
Yeah.
And it's contagious.
And you have to have it.
And he's got that attitude about
him,
too.
Yeah, he does. You need those type of players.
Doesn't matter who you are, he'll give it to you.
You know, in a big game like tonight's against the Penguins, Konecny's going to be there.
Right.
And he's going to make sure that he brings other people into the fight. too.
Jonesy, how much do you think now? Sixers have won their last two on the road. But they beat a dreadful Knicks team, and you know, eked out a Nets win. But they're wins nonetheless.
Yeah.
But they're still 9-14 on the road.
I would say none of the last two wins, nothing about that would stand out to me, other than the fact that they were in New York for a couple of nights. I expected them to come out flat. I thought that they would have, maybe been a little overserved on the night that after the game that they stayed there.
Aha!
And I was impressed with the amount of energy that they played with. So I give them a lot of credit for the win yesterday, especially the way that Simmons played. But they'll be measured by what happens in the next two games.
How much do you think of the road woes they've had, with accepting these last two games, has to do with being on the road? And it's young guys with a lot of money, most of them single, just wanting to,
they may be lacking focus. I mean, you play at home in Philly, and your fans aren't going to let you off the hook. So they're going to make sure that you show up early, or you're going to be booed off the court. Maybe that plays into it a little bit. It tells you how talented they are, but that they lack focus at times when they're losing on the road against teams that are inferior to them.
They need a little more, maybe restrictions, maybe
perhaps. It speaks to leadership, and leadership isn't always the coach. Leadership can be your players as well. So if they're not getting it from the coach, they're going to have to get it internally from the group that's playing on the court.
888-729-9494, #9494, your AT&T and Verizon wireless cell phone. You guys on hold, don't go anywhere. Now, I've been getting my chops busted by Jonesy and by Rhea and by Al. We have four wonderful prizes to give away, in addition to your sports conversation. And, you know, we're at this beautiful new studio here at 2400 Market. Absolutely beautiful, state-of-the-art. It's like something out of a movie.
It's beautiful.
It really is.
Looks nice.
And with, you know, everything's brand new, so everything has that new smell to it, which is really, really cool. And you savor the moment because, you know, over time, smell fades.
Savor.
And savor the flavor. Savor the moment. Savor the smell.
It smells like it's your first show.
Everybody's funny. With that in mind, and Joe Wechter is literally... Why don't you take a look at Joe while I'm talking, Al? You're going to just find it hysterical.
Well, he's smelling his sneaker.
He is, but it's a worn sneaker. And Joe sweats, so it's not a good... It's not exactly what I meant. But things that have a great smell when they're brand new.
Yeah.
We have awesome prizes to give away. Pay attention. Mention thus far, a Christmas tree has a wonderful smell to it. Freshly cut grass.
That's good.
Coffee.
Coffee's
laundry
good.
Detergent, a brand new car.
That's good.
Flowers, the smell of a bakery when you walk into a bakery.
Sure, that's fine.
Fresh paint has a very specific smell.
I agree with that.
Can you just take that off the list?
And oh, by the way, when you go to the store and you buy a fresh new pair of sneakers, has
wrong.
A great smell to it. What else does? Our time's 9:17.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.